gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the place of free speech. It's a place that you can go and speak freely. There aren't very many places left, and they are dwindling. But you can go here. You can speak freely. No masks. Come on. You don't need a mask to get into RBN. Of course not. But keep it alive. It's not easy. It's not easy to stay alive, but it's easy for you to help us. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions, send badly needed fundage, and then go to nationalbugle.com. There's some important new articles up there in the war section. Check those out. And download the CoCertified app. It's totally awesome. And that's it. Today is Tuesday. It's our day for Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. How are you doing? I'm in a very good mood, and I'm just powering myself up on my Red Bull, so I have plenty of energy for this very important show.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm under the weather a bit. I might have the deadly coronavirus.
I can hear that.
Or maybe it's
my advice.
It might be
under the weather. Lots of caffeine, make sure your sugar levels are high, and keep yourself very warm. That's my advice.
All right. That sounds reasonable. All righty. So we've got stuff to talk about. We are trying to defend civilization from the forces of... 5 miles an hour. Well... the forces of Zionism, the forces of 1984 totalitarianism. You fill in the blank there, but we are trying to defend civilization. There is a little bit of an aspect, we want a full court press, but even then you still need to pick and choose your battles. There are red lines, but there's also territory on the other side of the red line that we also want to defend if we can. So what about this? Do we have to raise a ruckus every time we're asked to wear a mask? Do we have to not worry about wearing a mask because the real red line is the vaccine? What should our guiding principles be here in our resistance to the oncoming tyranny?
Well, this is a really, really interesting question. And it's an interesting question because it's really something I've been thinking about a lot recently. And I've been also talking about this recently with my partner. And the reason I've been talking about this is because we went out for a Christmas event recently. And I pretty much refuse to wear these masks. I'm pretty much refusing to wear these masks. And I have a line, and my line is, I don't want to wear the masks. Now, if I am somewhere with my family, and when I'm there with my family, I'm in a position where we're going to get thrown out of Santa's grotto, should I not wear the mask? Well, I will make a fuss about it. I will say I don't want to wear it, but I'm not going to get thrown out of Santa's grotto and have my daughter sort of in tears or do something like that or ruin a family event. But I will make a fuss and I will say, well, I shouldn't have to be wearing them, and I'll make my opinion known. And the other day we walked into a shop, both of us, and there was two ladies there by the counter who were happily chatting without their masks on. And as we walked in, I looked at these ladies, and one of the ladies, as we were walking in, looked at the other, and they quickly started to put their masks on. They started to pop these masks on. And I said, you don't need to do this for us. I said, we don't believe in all of this nonsense. And one of the women immediately smiled and said, ah, good, neither do I. So I think there are ways you can have a little protest here and there, even if you aren't forced to wear them. And I realise that some people are forced to wear them. For example, if you run a business selling things and you have to go to the post office, you can't get banned from every local post office and stop selling your wares. Sometimes you do have to sort of take one for the team, but you can be more strong about these things in supermarkets and other shops and in places where they need your custom as much as you need what you're buying. And that's a very important point. So the other day, and there are mask mandates here in the UK, I walked into a toy shop. I was buying some presents for Christmas and no one was wearing the masks and no one was being told to wear the masks because this shop wanted to sell as many things as they could around Christmas. And that means they weren't messing around, forcing people to wear a mask and potentially upsetting customers. They just weren't doing that. And I was very, very happy about that. I was very, very happy that they weren't going to be doing that. So where am I getting to with all this? Well, we went to a Santa event the other day, and I said to Mrs. Mark, right, we might be forced to wear the masks. And I said, but let's not put them on until we're in there. Let's not put them on until we're in there. And if we ask to, we can have a little bit of a fuss. And if it's getting to the point where we're going to get thrown out and Sophia can't see Santa, then, you know, we'll deal with that. But let's not just give them an easy win. Let's not give them an easy win. Let's make everybody work for it at the very least. And she said to me, well, I do have red lines, she said. And she said her red line is health passports and forced vaccination. She said at that point, she is absolutely, absolutely the hill to die on, she said. And that's the hill, she said, I should be willing to die on. She said, if they're going to stuff these needles into our arms, we should refuse it to the last. And we should absolutely do everything we can to prevent it happening to our daughter. And by that we mean, if they say she can't go to nursery, well, we take her out of nursery. If they say she can't go to certain places, we don't take her to those places because there's no way she's having that jab. And that is Mrs. Mark's red line. Now, I said to her, I said, I understand your position on this. I said, I really, really do. And I said, I don't want to get into an argument because we're obviously going for a nice day out. I says, but I said, this is really, really important. If, and this is a really big if we are in a position where they force vaccine mandates upon us, it's probably because we didn't fight hard enough on all the other issues. So if they are pushing a forced vaccination, it's because the government thinks they can get away with it. Now, they won't push things that they can't get away with. They won't push things that they don't think we will tolerate, because ultimately they are bound by rules. They're bound by rules. They are bound by different constraints. And one of the constraints is if everybody says no to something, firstly, they can't arrest us all. Secondly, if they try to arrest us all, the court system would just completely collapse. They can't arrest us all. They can't fine us all. They can't get us all into court. And more importantly for these people, if we all say no to something and if there is mass resistance and that leads to the complete collapse of the electoral system, and I'm not saying it would result in a nationalist party getting elected, but it would probably result in a party getting elected that wasn't directly in the interests of the mainstream, we then get into a position where we have power because they have to bow to the fact that there's far, far too many people showing some kind of resistance than they could possibly ever hope to deal with. And this happened in the Soviet Union. Eventually, the Soviet Union collapsed, and it collapsed because masses of people just said no. Because masses of people just said, we have absolutely had enough, and we're not letting this go any further. And they started tearing down the wall. And well, as they started,
that, I mean, that's Eastern Europe. That was really what happened in these Eastern European countries in late 1989. Soviet Union, there was certain elements of that. It was a little more complicated. That was 2 years later. But yeah, the fall of the Berlin Wall was exactly like that.
Yeah. So what we're saying here is there is definitely a situation whereby we can fight back. But we all have to fight back. And we all have to do it at the same time. We can't be picked off piecemeal. If 20 people had gone to the Berlin Wall with sledgehammers and started attacking it, they'd have just been arrested. It needed everybody at the same time, on the same day, all going there, and the guards just stood there, shell-shocked. Because what could they do? Well, they couldn't do anything. It was over. It was game over. And if they tried to do anything, they'd have got swamped and maybe even, well, they'd have got beaten to death. It was as simple as that. Because if you've got hundreds of police, even if they've all got guns, but you've got hundreds of thousands of protesters, there's very little the police would do. And they'd understand that. And most of those officers would not be willing to pull the trigger anyway. Most of those officers wouldn't be willing to actually do what was necessary. They wouldn't be willing to pull the trigger and kill people. Now, it's a well-known fact that in wars, the vast majority, or at least the majority, maybe not the vast majority, but the majority of soldiers, armed combatants, when they shoot, they actually don't shoot to kill, and they feel bad about shooting to kill. And that's soldiers. So I don't think the police would be particularly good at shooting to kill. I think they would struggle with that, and I think most of them would put down their guns, and those who did fire would end up being beaten to death, which would obviously completely change the dynamic of the situation, and the protesters would win the day. But if you do it piecemeal and you've got 100 cops and 10 protesters, then another 10 protesters, then another, it's never going to work. And my point about this is we have to fight for every single inch. We have to fight for every scrap of turf. But why? Well, I see the government as being in a precarious position because there are lots and lots of people who don't like what's going on. But if we set a red line of health passports or vaccine mandates, let's say we set the red line as far to the end as we can, so it's vaccine mandates is where we set our red line, this actually emboldens the government in many ways. Because if the government sees there's no resistance to masks and mask mandates, they will be a lot more, I believe, they will be a lot more inclined to go for vaccine mandates. And I actually think that is how it works. I think that governments look at how the public reacts to smaller changes, to smaller power grabs, to these incremental changes, and then base future decisions that they make upon that. So if they see that everyone bows to mask mandates, even if the vast majority of people don't agree with them, they will think, well, everyone bowed to mask mandates, so there's a much greater chance they're going to bow to vaccine mandates or health passports. And I think that's how governments incrementally take away the rights of the people they were elected to represent. And I always say that these governments aren't, we don't elect people to lead, we don't elect people to go to parliament and tell us what to do. We're not electing school teachers for ourselves. And that might sound funny, but that's what some people actually think, that we're electing people to tell us what to do. We're not. We elect representatives, and those representatives are there to represent us in whatever it is, whether it's a parliament, whether it's a congress, whether it's a house, whatever you call it. Those people are there to represent us. And if we let them take the position of leaders, if we let them take the position that they are in charge of us and we must slavishly do whatever they say, well, we are then getting ourselves into a very, very bad position, a position where they, I believe, will decide that, well, we've given up these particular rights, so we'll give up more rights. And I think that's how they do this. People say that the slippery slope is a fallacy, but it's not. It's real. And if you allow them to take an inch, they will be more confident about taking a mile.
And, you know, once they've taken enough mile, the question is, is there any way to ever gain it back? And you look at, you mentioned the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I remember the spring and summer of 1989. In two of the Eastern European countries, there was liberalization going on, Poland and Hungary. And they both had multi-party elections scheduled. Those two did. So in 1989, you had these two countries that were scheduled. They're already scheduled to liberalize because you had a more liberal president in the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev. But these other, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, all of these countries, they still had their very authoritarian, rather absolutist, communist leadership that had no intention of letting up the reins. And East Germany is, you know, that's the one that is really kind of the bellwether, because that's where we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall. We saw the people coming out and taking down the wall on their own, right? And what they had, you see, the thing is, even in the late 1980s, these governments, they didn't have the level of control that our governments or our rulers potentially do. So they were able to have secret meetings without being contact traced by their cell phones. They had probably access to like Xerox machines or mimeograph machines. They were able to reproduce papers and distribute them physically. There was things that they could do. They could call each other over the existing landline phones, and there weren't people listening to every single call. What we've got going on, what we're headed into, especially with some of these measures of the for COVID, these COVID measures, contact tracing apps, that they might not be on everybody's phone right now, but they do have the ability to track your movements through your cell phone as it is. And then, of course, we're being encouraged to download certain apps in some countries, like Australia. You have to have these contact tracing apps. So the authorities, not only can they see where you are, but it's easy to see whose proximity you're in, who you're meeting with, things like this. And my fear is that we could reach a point where the type of organizing that made the fall of the Berlin Wall possible could be nipped in the bud, because they could see who's meeting with each other. They can see who's talking with each other. They didn't have big computerized databases that they could, in real time, identify problems using algorithms, identify problem people using algorithms. And so we really have to resist these things. And even if you think the vaccine is the red line, all of these measures that they're putting in place in the name of contact tracing, in the name of, being able to go in and get gasoline or groceries, they could overwhelm the possibility of being able to mount an organized resistance. But we're up at the break, so I'd like to get your response on the way back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue and we'll try and get you squared away.
The network thanks you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
And we are back. So, Mark, what do you think about this? Is my alarm at or the potential that we might not be able to do a East German-style fall of the Berlin Wall if things go too far? Do you think that's founded?
I don't know. What I'll say is this. I think there is always a way back. There is almost always a way back. Unless everyone is dead, there is almost always a way back. But, and this is the big but, and it is a huge, huge but.
Is it like a Nicki Minaj but?
It's so big it is a Nicki Minaj but.
Okay.
The issue here is we have a particular problem. The further down the road we go, it doesn't make it impossible to get back, but it gets harder. So the further we go, the harder it is. Not only the further we go, the harder it is, but, and this is another giant Nicki Minaj but, we actually are reaching a particular point where if, and this is a huge if, technology keeps advancing as it is, and I believe it will, and the government can monitor us to the degree they currently are monitoring us, that again potentially makes it exponentially harder for us to actually fight back or for us to actually win in some way. And that's a big big problem, because we are monitored far, far more than we have ever been monitored in the past. And that's a big, big issue, because we aren't living in a time where, and I said this the other day, it might have been on this show, and if it is, I apologize, but let's say we were being monitored back in the days of the Soviet bloc, and there were checkpoints everywhere. Well, if you turned up at a checkpoint, there would potentially be paperwork that you would have to deal with. And once you got to the place where you had to deal with the paperwork, there would be guards checking you. And that isn't a pleasant thing. That isn't something that, you know, I think people should have to deal with. But again, and this is very, very important, once you get to a point where you're going to those checkpoints, even if there are wanted men and women in society, with everything being done on paper, you have to go through there, and the guards have to recognize you, and they have to be able to deal with you, and they have to pull you to one side, and they have to verify who you are. That's difficult. That is very, very time consuming. That is something that can't just be instantly achieved. That isn't something that can be instantly achieved in any way. That is something that takes time. However, and this is the problem that we face, if we're in that position now, it's not a matter of them saying to us, you know what, we need to identify every dissident walking through this checkpoint by sight, and we need thousands of pictures pinned up in the little checkpoint HQ. That is not how it would work. Now, you have a little app on your phone that has to be scanned. Everyone has to present it, or they're not allowed through the checkpoint. And technically, those checkpoints couldn't just look out for, you know, a few dozen dissidents on the basis that the people at the checkpoint would recognize them. Those checkpoints would, in fact, be able to monitor tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, because once the app was scanned, you just get a beep, that's a dissident, please come with us, sir. Surveillance, monitoring, checkpoints, border controls, even the sale of goods and services is so much easier for these monsters to control now than it ever, ever has been. And that does present us with a particular issue that is very, very difficult. And my concern with all of this is that if we let the masks slip, it will then be health passports and vaccine mandates. And at that point, that situation is very, very difficult to escape from. And it's very difficult to escape from because fundamentally, with today's surveillance society, and even if you take out everything I've just said, even if you discount everything I've just said now, you are still in a position where you have to account for other issues. And when I say other issues, I'm talking about CCTV. I'm talking about cell phone masts. I'm talking about, you know, potentially dozens of other factors that allow you to be monitored in a way that your ancestors could never have been. And this gives them unprecedented power. However, they do have a weakness in all of this.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on the next break, so maybe we'll just pause and think about that weakness. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
We are back. Okay, Mark, so you were talking about a weakness in the system that they're setting up. What is that weakness?
Well, the weakness in the system they're setting up is they have total control when it comes to surveillance, or almost total control, unprecedented. However, earlier I talked about manpower, and that is a place where they still aren't in control. They still don't have the manpower. I talked about the fall of the Berlin Wall and how the fall of the Berlin Wall occurred because enough people said no at the same time, and the state, with all its might, and you've got to remember that the Soviet bloc, or the USSR, was the most well-armed and militarily powerful geopolitical force of all time, in terms of nuclear warheads, in terms of tanks, in terms of men-at-arms. No country since then, or no military power since then, has ever had a power that's equaled it. And that's very, very telling just to how much power they did have. But with all that power, they were powerless to stop it. Because even with all those troops, even with all those police officers, even with everything that they had, they couldn't prevent their citizens from rebelling when they rebelled en masse all at the same time. They just couldn't do it. And that tells you something. It tells you something important, and it gives you, I think it gives you a lot of hope. I think it gives you a window to how we could defeat this tyranny. Because even if they're monitoring us all, if they're monitoring us all, and we all choose not to comply on exactly the same day, they still have the same problem they had in the Soviet Union. They'd know we'd all stopped complying. They could check us all at every checkpoint and at every supermarket and at every border stop or airport or ferry terminal. But if everybody's not complying, then the system still grinds to a halt. They don't have enough people to stop us all when we are all saying no. Now, our army is technologically advanced. It's technologically advanced, and it is very, very good at fighting traditional and less well-armed threats. So, for example, the British Army could roll into a country like Iraq, or did roll into Iraq, and the tank battles there were a complete walkover, because the British tanks and the American tanks were so far ahead of the old Soviet tanks, they demolished them. But then subduing that entire populace was impossible, and Britain had to pull out. And if British troops were used to try and force vaccine mandates upon the people, well, the British Army is in a worse state than ever when it comes to, although it has all that technology, actually subduing an entire population. Well, they're smaller than it's ever been. The British Army in days gone by was absolutely gigantic and was very good at subduing populations. It's not now, because they don't have the manpower. And those that are there probably are used to doing things which actually makes them less good at traditional forms of military engagement. So what I'm saying is there is hope and there are ways to fight back, but the only way to fight back is mass non-compliance, and we must be rolling out that mass non-compliance at every level. Now, yes, I'm not saying if you're going to see Santa with your child that you should all storm out and upset your kid. I'm not saying that. But at the very least, you should say, I don't want to put this mask on. We shouldn't be doing this. At the very least, you should signal to others that you aren't happy with what's going on. And I find this works. Now, I know this, like people will say to me that I'm quite outgoing. I'm somebody who is quite good at talking to people. I'm quite good at voicing my opinions. And I'm not scared of making eye contact. I'm not scared of saying to people, this is how I feel. And a lot of people are. A lot of people are very, very, you know, bothered about that kind of thing. So it might be a lot harder for other people than it is to me. But people need to pluck up the courage. People need to be able to say, yes, I don't like doing this. So if they're walking to a supermarket and some snot-nosed brat is on the door saying, hey, you've not got your mask on, mate. You need to turn around and go, we shouldn't be wearing this. This is a nonsense. This is all rubbish. Everything that they're pushing upon us is a lie. This isn't for the good of us. Why are you enforcing this? And the more times they get that, the less emboldened, even if they force you to put the mask on, the more times they get pushback, the less happy they will be to approach people. I had this in a McDonald's. A woman came up to me and she says, can you put some hand sanitizer on, please? I said, no. She said, I'm just asking you to put some hand sanitizer on. So I don't have to put hand sanitizer on by law. She says, why don't you? She says, well, why not? I says, well, there's no law saying I have to use hand sanitizer. I don't want to put it on. And she says, well, why wouldn't you just put on the hand sanitizer? I says, I don't like it. It dries out my hands. I can't be forced to do this. She says, please tell me what government policy forces me to use. And she was like, well, I'm only trying to keep people safe, she said, and stormed off. Now, I wonder if she asked that same question with such force to other people after me, or if she was a bit embarrassed or a bit taken back. And these people try to knock our confidence, but you know what? We can knock their confidence. They're not all powerful. They don't hold all the cards. And I'll tell you what, if five people in a row walked in and said, I'm not putting that hand sanitizer on, she wouldn't be asking anyone to put hand sanitizer on. And if somebody had gone a bit further than me and said, I'm going to make a complaint. Can I have your name, please? I want to make a complaint to your manager. Why? Well, you're asking me to do something that I'm not forced to do, and you're making me feel uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, you're on the upper hand. You can force these bullies back. I had a guy giving me nonsense in a particular shop. And he was saying to me, one of them told me to put my mask on. And I said, no. And then another guy popped out some sort of, you know, little lick spittle for the system who was desperate to conform. He goes, we're all in this together, mate. I said, I'm not in anything with you. So this has nothing to do with you. If you want to wear your mask, you pop it on. I don't. I don't agree with any of this rubbish. And you can do that. And I know that it's, as I said, I know it's more difficult for certain people and some people don't like those kind of confrontations. But odds on, neither does the person who's having to enforce this. Most people enforcing this won't want confrontation. And the more confrontation they get, the less likely they are to push you to do things you don't want to, the less likely they are to try and push other people. This is where we have power. We have power because fundamentally there are more of us than there are of the people who are trying to enforce it. Yeah. And I think that we can push back. I think that we can do something, but we have to act as a collective. And if you don't want vaccine mandates, if you don't want vax passports, if you don't want any of this nonsense, you have to understand that you need to push back against every bit of it. If you set your red line at vaccine passports, then the government will have already got there before you know it. And a lot of people will have been beaten into compliance before we even get there. And that's a bad thing. I'm saying is we as a group, or, you know, we as nationalists, need to fight for every inch. We need to battle for every scrap, every millimeter of ground. Because if we don't, our enemies will occupy that ground before we even know it. And at that point, unfortunately, we've already lost.
So, yeah, that's all very, very important. Now, here's the thing. 32 years ago, when you had the fall of the Berlin Wall, the governments of these Eastern European countries, they had you know, a lot of police state apparatus. They had a certain level of surveillance technology, but it was very primitive compared to today. Today, the potential that they have via the internet, via you know, cell phone technology, you know, everybody carrying around these cell phones, computerized databases, searchable databases, and all of this, they have way more capacity to surveil us and see where problems might arise. To nip organization off at the bud. Now you could say, well, hasn't our ability to organize, hasn't that increased? Well, it has, because of the internet, because of cell phone technology, because of these very same things. But the thing is, what we've seen over the past few years in our Western countries is they don't shy away from shutting down parts of the internet or depriving people of the internet. And so while the internet and all this technology may be a double-edged sword, it is double-edged. It's pointing in both directions. But when push comes to shove, who is going to control that double-edged sword? And it's not likely to be the people. So I worry about there's a point of no return. This is, I'm trying to develop this idea. I think there's a point where through their control of these technological battlefronts, that the spontaneous organization becomes impossible because they could nip it off at the bud. And here's the thing. If we are, you know, if the having the vaccine injected into you is your hill to die on, that's fine. I can understand that. But it may well be that and I'm not one who says there is a single plan that they are uniformly trying to implement. put into place step by step. I think a lot of things are maybe on the fly, that there's multiple agendas that overlap. But at any rate, you could have a situation where in implementing contact tracing, for instance, if they asked you to show a QR code in order to go into a McDonald's, right? And I think that's going on in Britain, isn't it? In some places it's going on.
I don't think that is. Not that I know of, anyway. Okay. How do you go to McDonald's?
Andy Hitchcock was, he had to... But in some countries, what? In countries we know already... Like,
it's certainly not happening. That's not... I've not been into any... Obviously, I still go shopping and I still go to stores and different things. I've not been to any store, and I can tell you this for a fact, where you've actually had to show a health passport to go in.
In New York City, they have this, to go into restaurants. In Slovenia now, to buy gasoline. Austria and Germany are introducing this type of thing. And Australia has very... They will put you, if your contact tracing shows that you've come into contact, that you've been in proximity with somebody who tested positive, then you got to go to these 2-week quarantine camps in the northern territories, at least.
We had something called track and trace, but you didn't. You just had to sort of put your name and address down when you went into, say, a restaurant or something, but they never once asked me to do that in a McDonald's. And I visit McDonald's quite often, so I'm not saying it definitely didn't happen to him. I'm not calling him a liar or anything, but what I'm saying is that tend to happen in sit-down restaurants. But it only happened to me once or twice. Lots of places weren't bothering.
Yeah.
And when I was...
So there's already, but there is already the precedent of going into these places, this place or that place, you're having to... leave your contact information, and of course now there are contact tracing apps that are downloadable onto phones, and various.
That's easy to beat. I mean, you don't have to go along with that. If you go into places, put your phone in the car, and give them a fake address. That defeats it. And most of these young girls,
QR code. When it becomes a QR code. And these things are getting rolled out. And
just leave your phone in the car. I've done that myself. When people say to me, sir, can I look at... No, I don't have a phone. I mean,
But the thing is, you if there's lots of places where they're... Say, then don't come in. And even if it hasn't happened to you, even if it hasn't happened to me, that is... Theoretically, that is something that they can do. I mean, they refuse people.
No, but why would that be a... These are things that you can just sidestep. If they say to you, sir, I need to see this QR code. I need to see a QR code. Sorry, I don't have a smartphone. Oh, really? No, I don't use those sort of phones.
And
just leave it in the car. Well,
yeah, but you're not saying that in a near future that's not having your cell phone is going to guarantee you entry into wherever you want to go.
Look, I went to a restaurant a few weeks back.
No, hold on a second. I'm not arguing against that strategy of pushing back. But what I'm saying is that there is a theoretical point in the future in which if you don't have that they will have enough of their systems up and running where they will say, if you have to have this, you have to have this QR code or you don't gain entry.
Well, as I said, that might work for some places, but it's not going to work for every store. You can go into plenty of places and just get around it. I'll give you an example. I went out for dinner a while back to a restaurant, and when it came to paying the bill, they said, we only accept card. So we've only got cash on us. And the guy looked at us and he says, well, you need to get a card from somewhere. I says, we don't. I says, we can pay, but you'll have to take cash. And he said, but we only accept card. And I says, we can keep saying that all you like. When it comes down to it, just keep repeating yourself. But it doesn't change the situation that you're in, that I am not paying in any other way than with cash. And at that point, He turned around and just says, okay, what was he going to
do? My point is that there are things that we can still resist now. There are means of resistance that are still available to us now, which aren't necessarily going to be available to us because they are constructing an infrastructure of surveillance and repression and, you know, restrictions.
All of these things rely still on the still have the same two weaknesses that I've already said. They still have the same two weaknesses. They have to have people willing to enforce them, and they become unenforceable when too many people do something. I can tell you now.
Okay, we're up at the break. We're up at the break. We'll have to come back to this.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we are back. All right, continue, Mark.
If you book into a restaurant and you all walk in and you all say, well, we don't have smartphones, and then you all say, well, we all demand to pay in cash at the end, they'll take it. People won't enforce these things because if there's too many of you and you all just stand up at the same time, this thing collapses. And I've seen it collapse because I've done this myself. But you just have to have the bottle to do it. And the fact is, most people, unfortunately, for whatever reason, are so scared of conflict and so desperate to comply with everything they are told all of the time that that is the problem. The problem is that vast numbers of people think this is all garbage and don't want to comply with it, but do comply with it, because unfortunately that is what's been bred into us as humans. Mm-hmm. Our human nature is just to suck it up and comply, and that, unfortunately, my friend, is what's getting us in.
Well, exactly.
Mess.
Exactly. So, and we have to resist in all the ways you're talking about. My point is that there's things that we can do now to resist that you cannot count on always being able to be effective in the future, because they are building infrastructures of a police state. And even shy of everybody getting an injection of their arm, they can get police state infrastructure that would be much stronger than anything that the Eastern European countries had, and that you cannot that could nip off in the bud organized resistance. I'm saying that right now we can resist. Don't count on being able to always resist in the future if things get worse, because the technology is different. I'm saying this is the crunch time. This is when we have to resist, because our resistance, if not futile, at least will be much more difficult once they get more and more of these systems in place. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, I agree. And I said the further down the road we go, the harder it is to walk
exactly.
it back. And I stick with that. But what I'm saying is, whatever system they bring in still has those two failings. It still fails if enough people say no to it. And that is an important thing. And we just never get so blackpilled that there's no way out of it, because that just causes despair. The fact is, there is always a way out. Yes, it gets more yeah. difficult. But I can tell you, if people followed these simple points that I've laid out today, you would just see how many normies hate this. How many people I've said, this is all a load of rubbish to. I said it the other week to another woman in a different store. And straight away, as soon as I said that, she said, you know what? I never believed this from the start. I never wanted to close my shop. It's all just a load of rubbish. I don't even know anyone who's died from it. Yet we were. And before you know what else, I was listening to her COVID stories of how it was all rubbish.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be big enough to engage people. And they've spent years destroying our community, so
we can do it now. We can still do it. We've got to do it now. That's the main takeaway.
Yeah.
But but you do think of hijack scenarios or hostage scenarios where you've got a couple, one or two or three gunmen in a bank in an airplane, and even though if the rest of the people Zerg rushed them, the fact is if they are in a position to nip off in the bud, and then usually you got a few gunmen and they're able to get away with this because they don't get Zerg rushed. But anyway, we're out of time.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was a great show, and I am back on Wednesday for PWR with Emily Yukis.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.